Our scripture reading this morning is John 8:31 through 36. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we will be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are ready to kill me, because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you do what you have heard from your father." "Abraham is our father," they answered. "If you were Abraham's children," said Jesus, "then you would do the things Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the things your own father does." "We are not illegitimate children," they protested. "The only father we have is God himself." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God, and now I am here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language so hard for you to understand? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil." You want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding on to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet, because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can you prove me guilty of any sin? If I am telling you the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Thank you, Lord, for your word.
Several studies have been done. What do people want more than anything? Well, it probably depends, you know, with other circumstances, but ultimately people want autonomy. We don't like people telling us what to do, right? You know, and it's just like, you know, maybe some of us came from that era of rebellion. Maybe some of you are still there. And I had one tell me this morning that he's in the rebellion corner, so that's all right, you know. But anyhow, we don't like people telling us what to do. How many people have quit jobs because I didn't like them telling me what to do? Well, nobody could tell me what to do, and they quit their job because they didn't like being told what to do. I mean, we like this thing called autonomy, freedom. And you know, it's something that's important to us. But, you know, if you go back in history, you look at those who lost freedom. And I found that this was a real interesting thing when communists upheld themselves as liberators from 1917 to 1976. They were liberators. They were the ones who were setting free. But 60 million people in the Soviet Union were killed. 40% of these were executed directly by communist officials. A further 66 million were incarcerated. Can you imagine that number? 66 million incarcerated in Soviet prisons and concentration camps. And at least half of these were Christians. And I could go on and on. There were 1,800 churches that were closed by Marxists in Ethiopia, and that was actually in 1985. So we look around our world, we see people losing freedoms. And, you know, this recent thing with Afghanistan, people who thought they had freedom, now they find themselves not having freedom. But the interesting thing is they could be called liberators. And what it does, it can take away our freedoms. There's a lot of confusion about freedom. So in our passage today, Jesus, he's going to tell what freedom really is. And he's talking here to these Jews. This is still in that time period right after the Feast of Tabernacles. And there was some confusion here about what freedom is and about who is free and who is not free. And so Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, actually who believed him, in verse 30, it has the words believed in him. And he gives us a very important point here. The truth to abide in, that will set us free if we abide in the truth. Jesus said to those Jews, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Now that's a very important point because we live in a day of easy believism. You know, that is where, well, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, gave my life to him, oh, 30 years ago, but I don't go to church anymore. I don't really do anything religious anymore. Oh, but I got saved back then. It's kind of like, got to be careful, because Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Now that would carry the connotation that if you don't abide in his word, you're fooling yourself. So he says to these who believed in him or believed him, if you will abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Then he goes on and says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth will make us free. What is the truth? Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus is the truth. And it's the truth that will set you free. Now, I'm amazed at all the academic institutions that probably have those words. I mean, some do. I don't know how many. But they have those words, the truth will set you free, engraved on their buildings. You know, on that concrete marquee. The truth will set you free. And all of these academians know where it came from. And yet the schools, a lot of them that have those words up there, do not embrace the one who said those words. And they just make it mean the truth that you will learn here will set you free. The knowledge that you will get here will set you free. But listen, knowledge will not set you free. Knowledge will not give you what you need to go to heaven unless it's that saving knowledge of who Jesus is and you surrender to him. But just getting smarter isn't going to set us free. So Jesus says to these who believed him, if you will abide in my word, if you will stay with me, you will know the truth. And the truth will make you free. Well, that seems like it was kind of a commercial that Jesus was given to these while the Pharisees were just standing around, maybe griping and bickering about, what are we going to do with this guy? So then we come to the tradition that deceives them. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Now, the first thing I want to say is that tradition is not a bad thing. You know, when I say the tradition that deceived them, I mean, we have traditions in our country that we need to hold on to. We have traditions in our church that we need to hold on to. But we don't hold on to them because they are traditions. We hold on to them because of what they mean. And so, but we can get to where we elevate some traditions more than the one that it's about. See, we don't take the Lord's Supper because it's a tradition. We partake of the Lord's Supper because of the one who it's about. We partake of the Lord's Supper because, not because we remember the elements. We partake of the Lord's Supper because we remember the sacrifice of the one who gave his life. So anyhow, their tradition was, they said, we're Abraham's descendants and never been in bondage to anyone. Wait a minute, really? These are the people who are just at the Feast of Tabernacles. And what did that feast celebrate? It celebrated God's deliverance of the Israelites, of Abraham's children, as they were in the wilderness for 40 years, really in bondage. I mean, they were free from the Egyptians in the wilderness, but they were starting to say bondage in Egypt would have been better than being in the wilderness. They were tired of manna. I mean, manna bread, manna cotti, I don't know, all the things you make out of manna. They probably made it every way they could. And they were just tired. They wanted something else to drink other than water. And, you know, they were like, let's go back and get our Diet Coke or something. You know, this is just crazy, you know. But for 40 years, and that was even a bondage. Even though they were free, they were still kind of bound. And so that's why they were complaining. And so now you have these Jews, the Pharisees, who are saying, we've never been in bondage. Our people have never been in bondage. Really? And then you think about it from another aspect. Jesus could have said to them, you're in bondage right now. Now, they would have said something like, how are we in bondage? You see, they were under the laws of Rome. Well, there's laws. See, sometimes people think freedom means there wouldn't be any laws. But I think we've discovered the absence of laws can really lead to chaos in all the places that have been destroyed where law was restricted. And so he could say, you are bound by the laws of Rome. Now, they really were. So get this. They could not enact capital punishment on anyone unless Rome approved it. And you know what that tells me? when they brought the woman caught in the act of adultery before Jesus, and they picked up their stones, and they cast her down, said, "What do you say?" Jesus knew they couldn't do anything. They couldn't throw those rocks at her. They couldn't kill her. There were so many holes in what they were saying right then, but they couldn't have done it. And, you know, there's several times we read where it says no one dared lay a hand on him because his time had not come, his hour had not come. I think they were restricted. They could not, even though they wanted to, they could not execute him until Rome said they could. So, really, you know, person says, "I want to be totally free." Well, are we totally free? Get in your car and go 100 miles an hour on I-40 and see if you're really free. You know, well, you have the freedom to do it, but then there are consequences that come to it as well. So even though they would say, "We are Abraham's descendants, we're not in bondage to anyone." Now, had they just forgotten? Had they forgotten about the wilderness wandering? Right after they celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles. Yesterday, 9/11, 20 years ago, some people have forgotten. Some people, young people, they don't remember it. Maybe they were born right around that time. Have we forgotten? We don't want to forget. And that's what I think has happened, though. How easy it is to forget such important things that happen when we get distracted. So they were distracted by their tradition, and their tradition was deceiving them. They had religion, but they didn't have a relationship with God. Now, Jesus goes on to say, and I want to skip down a few verses, and then I'll come back to the next one. You know, he says, "I know that you're Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak what I've seen with my father, and you do what you've seen with your father." Well, they answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." See, they're still stuck on this pride of being sons of Abraham. And Jesus said, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father." Then they said to him, We were not born of fornication. We have one father, God." Okay, now they were saying that God was their father. Jesus says, "If God were your father, you would love me. You would accept me." "Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. Your father is the devil." Oh, wait a minute. Jesus has just gone to this big religious conviction that says that God is their father. And he says, "Let me tell you what. Your father is the devil." What did he just say? He said our father's the devil. That's what he said. No wonder. You can imagine. They were constantly wanting to get their hands on him. And he was saying their father was the devil because they would not receive the truth of God. Going back to verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Assuredly, I say to you, you are slaves. Whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." So the transgression that enslaves them, Jesus makes a point that sin enslaves. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. You know, we go back to that story of the prodigal son, where the son realized he would be better off as a servant in his father's house. He would be better off if he were a slave to his father than to be the son. Jesus told that story that he goes back to his father. And his father says, "No, you're not my slave, you're my son. A son is in the house and abides in it forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." All over the world, through different periods of time, there have been people in physical bondage who testified that they had freedom. It's because their freedom was in Christ. People who are sick and bound by sickness and disease. And I talked to a lot of those folks, and 95% of them, they communicate that they feel this sense of peace and freedom, even though they are bound by that sickness that's going to take them out of this world. See, that peace and that freedom can only come from one place. Comes from Jesus Christ. And if you don't know that freedom, I want to invite you to come to know that freedom. It's not by just saying one time, "Yeah, I give my life to Jesus," and then you walk away from that. It's abiding in Him, living for Him, knowing that He is the Lord of your life daily. If you need to make a decision for Christ, we invite you to do that today. If there's anyone that would like to join our fellowship, you know, and all that simply means, it's not a membership of a club. It just simply means that you stand to say, "I want to be a part of this body." And you believe that Jesus is the Christ, Son of God. You've been baptized. We invite you just to come and place your fellowship with us.